Yo.
Can you hear me?
You listening to
hashtag WAW. What a week.
Yeah, yo.
What a week.
Week.
Eita, hola. Welcome to our What a Week. We've managed to make it to today's recording after the party celebrating the Springboks win against France. We had frog's legs for dinner. And then this weekend we shall have pie, strawberries and cream as we polish off the English. Hopefully we'll sound sober and more alert than President Joe Biden did when meeting the Israeli leader yesterday. I swear Biden is starting to do old people shit. So, on that optimistic note, welcome back to WOW, What a Week.
This is...
What a week.
What a week. You can't make this shit up.
And our comedian guest is in the building. There are a few people who need to be given very specific details to get to Amped Studios. Our next guest, however, is very familiar with traveling in and out of Jersey. Added to that, we're around the corner from a major taxi rank, and we're down the road from a bank he's very familiar with, and a couple of hostels. So we knew he wouldn't have a hassle getting to us. Please give a warm welcome, in whichever language you choose, to comedian Sfiso Nene.
Wow.
What an intro.
What an intro.
Sfis.
Yes, sir.
How you doing, my man?
I'm good. You're right, Ngana Wetujadwe.
It's good to see you.
Since you introduced me, Ngalen Lela,
yes,
with the taxi rank is here.
Yeah.
Might as well speak to
and
you.
Then, and then there's a hostel ref here.
A hostel.
Sure. Welcome home.
Thank you, sir.
You know, one thing I haven't actually asked a lot of my Zulu guests.
Okay.
But I'm going to ask you because I haven't seen you with Isiphandla.
Yeah.
What's going on, my man? Or are you showing of yourself?
But it's not like Isiphandla is something that you wear as a fashion trend. You wear it when it's necessary.
It's not an accessory.
No, it's not.
So what is Isiphandla?
Isiphandla, I believe, it's like if you are doing a ritual.
Sure.
At home.
Like a Thanksgiving.
Yeah, a Thanksgiving or sure. Whatever. Mm. Then you put on Isiphandla as a sign of to the ancestors that, yeah, it's me who did this thing for you.
Oh, so that goat, that's what...
The goat, yeah, it was me. Yeah, it was me.
So it's GPS for your ancestors?
Basically.
So when are yours, how do yours find you?
They do find me.
Yeah.
I put it when it's necessary. I do put it, but it's not necessary for now.
Tell us about Empangeni, please. You're from Empangeni in Durban.
Yes. Empangeni, the north coast of KZN.
Yes, sir.
That's where I grew up. It's not in Durban.
Yeah.
It's 2 hours away from Ethekwini.
You know, the problem is for a lot of Joburg people, if you go to Limpopo, you're going to Polokwane.
Yeah.
They think Polokwane and Limpopo is the same thing.
Yeah.
Likewise with Durban. You're from KZN, you're from Durban.
Durban is a city,
yeah,
and then there are small towns.
Sure.
So Empangeni happens to be one of the small towns. Empangeni, that's where I come from, Sekai.
And then did you play sport?
Yes.
Were you a soccer guy?
I played soccer.
Yeah.
I played soccer. I actually thought I was going to make it in a soccer.
No, that's what I'm asking.
You've got
that walk. You know that walk,
that
Phil Masinga, I just missed the goal, but I'm going to walk like this walk. You know that Phil Masinga walk?
Yeah, I used to play soccer.
And then your favorite team?
Obviously, Bhakabhaka.
Yeah.
As a Myama Ngenkani.
Sure.
We won.
Oh, okay. So simply because you guys...
No. I'm just
beat
putting it out
Sundowns.
There. Uti, we won the final. Shai Sundowns.
Guys, what if Sundowns... This is the beginning of the end because they lost another match the other day to TS Galaxy. They've crashed out of the Carling Cup because of TS Galaxy.
But they can always buy the new beginnings.
Oh, yeah.
It is Sundowns.
Oh, I'm sure, bro, Patrice is like, guys, you lost the Carling Cup. Don't worry, I'll buy you cups.
Yeah, I'll buy you new cups. And you can just replace the entire team.
You get a Carling. The Tambaya Kala.
They're just playing.
That's what's
give
called,
back to the community.
That's what's called the Carling Cup, because Baya Kala. If you saw the Zungu tackle on Bernard Parker.
I saw that.
Literally broke his leg.
Yeah,
In fact, you know what upset me about the tackle? What upset me about the tackle is, whether it's a mistake or not, Zungu doesn't seem remorseful. In fact, he almost played victim. That, why am I getting a red card? Why am I getting... And I mean, I suspect he's still upset about the Pirates match, that penalty from the Pirates match.
Maybe.
And he brought that anger to this TS Galaxy match.
I think that was ruthless.
Yo.
I think that that's not sports... What sportsmanship?
Exactly.
I think that was... Yeah, that's bad.
Mara, do you think maybe the PSL need to add more rules? That, I mean, if a tackle like that is a career-ending tackle. Your life can't just carry on.
Yeah, you can't just carry on playing when someone else's career has ended. You've ended their career. So I think the guy must also be... He must get a punishment of some sort to suit.
Not even a Soriana, not even a hard Mfwetu.
I think Mela Pali statement.
And say what?
I don't know, man. I don't know. He must apologize.
Yeah.
Or the team must apologize on his behalf.
Sure.
Yeah. And then they must let us know what is going on. He must be punished.
Because life can't go on.
Yeah, life cannot go on. Anyway,
so how does a boy from Empangeni end up in Johannesburg?
Because of comedy.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
I was following the dream, the comedy dream.
Sure.
I was watching this show, the Pure Munati show, many, many years ago.
Sure.
And then I saw myself in the TV show.
Yes, sir.
I started writing scripts, hoping that one day I'm going to come to Joburg and present this script to
David Gao.
To whoever.
Oh, okay.
I was to meet who was part of the Pure Munati show.
Sure.
So that I could be part of it. I could maybe end up writing for them. And I did come to Joburg with the script in my pocket. I went to the SABC and one of the guys who was part of the Pure Munati show, Ronnie Motimola, was being interviewed in a completely different TV show, and I was an audience member that day. It was the day I arrived in Joburg.
So the ancestors really found you.
Yeah, they found me. And then I went to speak to Ronnie after the show. He was in the bathroom wiping off the makeup.
How guys?
I'm telling you, bruh.
You know, the other day, I'm in the bathroom at the urinal. I'm busy. They're doing my thing.
Yeah.
A guy comes, puts his arm around me. Ne? 4 or 5 in hand.
Jeez.
I'm taking a piss. Phone up.
That's weird.
Bro, what are you doing? So Ronnie couldn't even take off his makeup.
No, it's makeup.
Before he showed up.
He was not doing anything. It was makeup.
Yeah.
So I spoke to him. I told him, I'm Sfiso. In a second.
Yeah.
I'm Sfiso. I'm from KZN. I've written scripts and blah, 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 blah. Ronnie's such a cool guy. He was like, come back to Joburg next week.
But you know what the other problem is? Ronnie speaks so slowly. You were able to speak for 10 minutes before you could say one word.
Well, then too.
So he had no choice.
Yo, that guy is nice, bruh.
Yeah.
And then I came back to Joburg the following week. He was with his brother.
Sure.
And then I showed them the script. They didn't laugh. And for me at the time, I didn't know that when a comedian does not laugh at a joke, it's funny.
Oh, yes. No, a comedian will never roll on the floor laughing my ass off. Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
They both didn't laugh. They were like, okay, your scripts are funny.
Yeah.
But in a stand-up comedy way.
Sure.
Not in a script.
Yeah. In a skit way.
In a skit way.
Yeah.
So I was like, what is stand-up? Then they were coming to Durban to perform at the Bird Center. And then they were like, you should come through and check us out.
Sure.
And then I went through and I saw. I was like, oh, this is stand-up.
Sure.
And then I changed my scripts into stand-up then. And then that's how it all started.
Sure. And the rest is history.
Yeah. And then 2 years later, there was that show, So You Think You're Funny. I went and then I won it and... Yeah, and then the rest is history.
Mara, when you were coming up even on in terms of So You Think You're Funny,
yeah.
Vernacular comedy wasn't necessarily a big thing at the time.
True.
In fact, you guys are some of the trailblazers in terms of vernacular comedy. What are your thoughts on where it is right now? Because I think it's coming a long way.
Yo,
and it's funnier.
It's funnier because it's kuluma ngesiZulu, it's kuluma ngesiPedi or isiXhosa.
Yeah.
People relate to the humor in their language better than when it's done or
when it's translated
English. I also started comedy when I was doing only English because at the time Venex space was very being echo as big as it is.
We were not proud enough at the time.
Yes, we were not. And then but now the Venex space is amazing. It is running the comedy space.
As it should. We're an African country.
We are a majority.
We're an African country, so majority of our comedy should be in an African language.
True.
You know, you'll do English once in a while just because you want to make big Plex-only money.
Yeah.
5,000 people.
5,000, yes.
But otherwise, you know, African comedy should be done in Vanek.
Yeah.
One of the other big stories, I don't know if you've ordered anything from Amazon.com.
Not yet.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I've been using them since 1998. I've been ordering CDs and books since 1998.
Really?
From Amazon.com. I'm one of the guys that made Jeff Bezos a billionaire. Me. Jeff, some of that money is my money, dog. Motherfucker. Anyway, so Amazon is coming to South Africa.
I heard.
Next year, there'll be Amazon.co.za. Okay. And they're saying that, in fact, the big talk is how will it affect, for instance, abotakealot.com, abukendua, and even the retailers.
Even the taxi industry.
Our taxis will be affected.
Because you do know, Guti, the taxi drivers, if you want to purchase someone something, you take it to the taxi rank, 150, and then off it goes. That is what we do in case of that. So now, with Amazon, it's also limaza on the rank. Amazon South Africa. So
same thing deliver.
Same thing with Uber. I get to go by them people for Uber. Manje sekuzoba ngalo Amazon ike wakhona also uzosibakisa manje ngoba phela 150 abaseze like sebe yakubantuke manje yabo. What about the key?
Do you know that when I met Oskido, Oskido lived by Joubert Park by North Texas Rank. And mina, I'm in Botswana. I'm doing law. And whenever I needed to buy records, Oskido would buy records, Josie, put them in a taxi, give the taxi driver 50 rand.
Yeah.
The same thing.
That's our Amazon.
The same system. My man, I would get same day delivery of AMA records from Oskido at the taxi rank.
But if you order that now via these platforms, how long does it take?
It's same day now. They claim it's same day.
They claim it's the same day. Yeah. It takes like 4 to 5 days or 7 days.
Exactly.
But in a taxi, now.
It's express the same day.
Yeah.
It's a four-hour delivery. My worry, because they're saying, because 60% of what they sell on Amazon is from independent sellers. So, for instance, if when you're selling Sfiso's Archer, you can also register.
Okay.
But you know there was the same excitement 2010 with people setting up Airbnb?
Happy much.
Exactly. Most of the BNBs from 2010.
But I think because the Amazon business, they have a plan that works in other countries. I believe that it's going to work here in South Africa as well. I think it's definitely going to work. I've heard that in different countries where they have arrived, where there were these other platforms, the other platforms, they suffer. So it's going to be a problem, but it's going to be good for us as consumers.
But let's see if it will affect the taxi express.
Ah, nah. Because only one day. Fast, 2 days. Yeah, nah. We should start my belief. Nothing serious.
I'm a warning shot.
Yeah, warning shot. Lapana. Seafood, Amazon. Seafood. She said, I blocked the few highways. That's it. And then life goes on after that.
Then life goes on.
Yes.
So one of the other big stories this week, there's a video of Donald Trump that's gone viral. Donald Trump says, isn't it there's this thing nowadays that if when you identify as...
Yes, what?
If you identify as a football, we must treat you like a football. Exactly. And the fact that there's people who are doing transitions. So if me and I identify as a girl, I'll even do a whole transition into a woman.
Yes.
So Donald Trump is saying he has a plan. He's going to speak to LeBron James.
And the basketball player.
The basketball player. And he's going to get other basketball players who also kick ass. And they're going to all transition into women. And then they're going to set up the most powerful women's basketball team in the U.S.
That's crazy.
I think it's brilliant. Because if we are saying that people that have transitioned to be allowed to... You know what? If that's how you identify, we're happy for you. If you identify as a cucumber, we're happy for you. But why should women be forced to compete in athletics against former men? And for me, I'm saying women athletes need to boycott any game where all of a sudden who's fee so.
But you know what? Woman. What is the problem for us? The feminists.
Yeah.
Because all the trans what?
Mm.
The
alphabet gang.
Yes. Mm. They are supported by the feminists. Which are supposed to be protecting women. Mm. But they are very quiet when men jump into the sports or the former men play in the sports or perform in the sports with women. So... double standards, I don't know.
For me, it's a problem. If my daughter is an athlete and she's having to compete with former men and we think it's fair, that's a problem. It's actually ridiculous. Then, you know, with all due respect, then why don't you have a category for people that have transitioned?
If you want to transition to whatever, it's fine. It's all good and fine. Mm. But if now we're coming to sports or any other activity that involves natural men and natural women, then you must perform in the sports where you transitioned.
True.
I believe. They need to create the sports for trans people. To perform or play alone, because now they take advantage.
Yeah, but now they're going to come after you and me and say, but we're discriminating.
No, it's not discrimination.
Cancel.
Fresh. Look at yourself. Let's say you transition into a woman right now.
Yo.
And then you go.
I'd be a very big
fan. You transition into a woman right now.
I'd be one of the biggest girls I know.
And then you expect us to keep quiet.
When you compete with your daughter.
With my daughter. No, bruh. That is wrong. That is just wrong. Nothing wrong with transitioning to whatever you want. It's a free world. I mean, it's fine. But let's be fair. Mm. Men are muscular by nature.
Sure.
So we can't change that.
Mm.
Yeah, just because you've transitioned, it doesn't mean now you're going to be less of a man. You are still a man. Still a dude. Still... more powerful than...
You're still big boned.
Yeah. So it's God who created us like that. Mm. So it's not like we are being bad people by pointing that out. It's nature.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My man, you've often told your story about your upbringing, your background. What is it about your story that you tell purely because you want people to be inspired and understand that it is possible?
Ah, dude, I think the story I told you in the beginning, me coming to Joburg, how I came up to Joburg and how I started comedy.
Where did you sleep?
I slept at the taxi rank, at Park Station.
York, so you didn't even have accommodation?
No, I didn't. I used to sleep, like my benches at Park Station. Mm. Yeah, I used to sleep there. Because I would come here after meeting Ronnie, because comedy was mainly... in Joburg at a time.
Yes,
club gigs were run in Joburg. Mm. So I'd come here from KZN and take a bus.
You used to do gigs and then go back to Park Station.
Yes.
Yo.
I'll take a bus from Devon.
Yeah.
From 8, if you're on a thriller.
Sure.
Hang around.
What's 3 p.m.?
3 p.m., yes.
Okay, so you're waiting for an evening competition.
Well, yes, go do a 5 minutes open spot. Mm. And then 10 o'clock, I'm back at the Park Station. Catch a bus back. If I miss it, then I would sleep there.
Yeah,
that was my life for a good 2 years.
Mara, the dream and the fire was burning that much that you knew you had to do this.
I knew I had to do that.
So the family are saying what as you're sleeping in stations? coming to Joburg to speak on the mic for 5 minutes?
I didn't tell them. It's the first time they are hearing this. They wouldn't have approved.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then, you know, when you have a dream and you're not doing anything wrong, but you are just hustling, then your dream is bound to come true.
So you look back at your career now and you think, what, my man?
I was right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine if you were wrong. Before we let you go, tell us about Baby Mama Drama.
Man, that concept. It's an observation. I come from a hood where baby mamas are just like bayaziwa.
Yeah.
Or you don't want to have a baby with that one.
Hey, but
because I was over in King. So because of that observation, then I created that concept.
So can you tell how many babies does she have?
Dude, I'm talking about all baby mamas,
okay.
Not one specific one.
Okay.
Yeah, so because of my observation then, I was like, let me create this concept because many people relate to the concept.
Sure, sure.
And it's a concept that people like as well. Whenever I put up a show saying Baby Mama Drama 2 or whatever, people come through. So I'm going to do that show until I die.
What Baby Mama Drama have you experienced personally?
Now we are break, I ask.
No, I'll move around.
In network. Hello. We are giz. What have I not experienced?
Yeah.
Look, my baby mama is nice. Mm. I won't lie. But there are times when I'm like, yeah, but you can be nicer.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can be nicer. You don't have to shout. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. There are many things, man. There are many things that I've experienced, which are common, even if you are not together with your baby mother, baby mama, or you are together with your baby mama. It's the common stories. Ingani akumbula, ngo 12, ebusuku.
Or 2 a.m., 2 a.m.
Ingani akumbula, ukuphi? So
you're not allowed to have a life.
No, you're not allowed.
Because she doesn't have a life.
Yes, because you broke up with her and you impregnated her.
Sure.
So you can't have a life. You can't live happily ever after when you left her with a kid.
Mm.
So that, well, yeah, some of the things.
What's next for Sfiso? What are you working on?
Oh, right now there's a concept that I'm doing, the combo comedy show.
Okay.
I
mean, a combo comedy show sounds like there's two pieces and chips. What is this?
The combo comedy show is a combination of different comedians who speak different languages that I put together. Then I host the show.
Okay.
So I've been doing a few of them. I started before COVID at Carnival City.
Mm.
Then we stopped, obviously. And then we just came back this year.
Sure.
We started at Silver Star Casino.
Mm.
We went to Empress Palace, we went to God Reef City, and now we're going to Carnival City.
So when are you at Carnival City?
4 November.
4 November?
4 November, Big Top Arena, Carnival City, combo comedy show.
Who is on the lineup?
There's Salesman, there's Siaseya, there's Tabangi Ar, there's Eugene Koza, there's Stop Nonsense, and there's Pops is going to be there as well. Church Boy is going to be there as well.
Sure.
And then the following week, I'm doing Durban as well, combo comedy show at Suncoast Casino.
Nice.
Because I have to bring it home.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But are you going to bring it home when you know that your Zulu people don't want to hear any other language?
Well, I need to have a combo of Zulu people there.
Oh, different pieces of Zulu.
Yes, different. Because Zulu is not just. There are Zulus from the rural.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
like
yes.
Magatantini. I've got someone called Magatantini who's from, who represents the rurals. I've got Felix Lope, who represents Umlazi.
Sure.
I've got Nondo R, Sabien Girl. I've got Skumba from Tembisa.
I believe that you are the key to saying to your fellow Zulu people, let's embrace other languages. Take the whole show to KZN.
The babies.
Everyone.
Go back KZN. Go be now, Mr. Abel Fresh. Go back, I understand it. And lines work on a KZN. KZN. No, it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
No, it's not. Not because people are ignorant or whatever.
Yeah.
It's because, let me address this thing. Because when we come to Joburg, as Zulu people, never had a problem. We go to, you guys don't want to learn other languages, blah, blah, blah. We were born in KZN. Mm. The only language that is spoken there is isiZulu.
Sure.
You grow up until you are 25. And then you're like, Yazin, let me leave KZN.
Sure.
Go to Joburg. You get to Joburg, there's 150,000 languages spoken here. Mm. And then you guys expect us to just understand all of them.
Make an effort.
Of course, but which one? Which language am I making the effort with?
Pick one, my man.
We are confused for the first 5 years, which we are just deciding. First 5 years, we don't know which language to pick. 10 years, we're like, okay, maybe it's paid. Yat kabulela hanyan. Yeah. No, let me drop it paid. Angie was suit. I akitib. Uti no, man. Angzami, it's cause agevele. It's almost like his suit.
Sure.
So it's not as easy as people.
I had hope in you, my man.
I obviously can bulela kanyan, but people in KZN, you can't expect them to just understand. The closest we are to other languages is when we watch TV shows.
Sure.
So, nakona there are subtitles which we like, oh, it's a kulumalo. Umlo kulumizul. Alfailo. Alfailo kulumizul. So, it's the only way I think we are going to learn.
Yeah.
But be nice, be patient with us.
Can you at least say you are sorry or you are Xolisa in Tswana or Pedi?
Gimaswabi.
She's a boy.
Yeah. Kikupa. Oh, Martin, Kupum Suarelo. That's Suarelo. Kupum Suarelo. Yao Kupa, I gave off for doing guns. I went in Kupum Suarelo like all. Kupelanina. Gimaswabi.
Spiso, I think you're a funny guy.
Thank you, sir.
And I think you must continue flying, kicking ass. And I think your combo comedy shows are what this country needs.
Thank you, sir.
Now we must now start convincing white people to start attending.
Yes, I'm going to do something.
Because we kind of white people only knowing Sa'ubona, Unjani.
And Mkharimbe.
And Mkharimbe.
And Kalagata.
No, it's time to move on now.
It's time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sfiso Nene has left the building.
This is wow! What a week! What a week! This kid, really kicks.
Welcome to our next segment, hashtag Wow What a Kid, where we chat to Africans under the age of 35 that we feel kick ass and that you should hear about. Our next guest is very familiar with the term sick. No, that doesn't mean he makes home videos involving vacuum cleaners and hamsters. Besides, who has time for that when there's beats and boards to write? Please give a warm welcome to a kid who's familiar with all types of grinding. Please make some noise to Mr. Mayo, DJ Speedstar.
What's up, Michael?
Is in the building.
What's going on?
Lesego.
Yebo.
Am I diluting your brand when I call you Lesego?
No, it's okay. Maranki.
Maranki.
As you like to call
me. What does Maranki mean?
I actually don't know. I think my grandfather passed away in 92 when I was born.
Okay.
I didn't get to meet him, so they gave me his name.
Maranki.
Maranki, yeah.
So why don't you ask what Maranki means?
Good question. I should ask. Okay. I forgot to ask my parents, actually.
Welcome to Wow What a Week.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us about this week. What's the week been like for you?
The week's been good. I've been in Johannesburg, shooting a new show.
You're a citizen of Cape Town now.
Yeah, I've been living in Cape Town. So I've been in Johannesburg this week.
Yeah.
I've been in the studio working on some music. I'm shooting a new show, which is coming up really, really soon. So it's been a very good week.
What kind of show is it that you're shooting?
I'm shooting a show basically trying to remind people to not forget about people who were once their heroes.
Ah.
I think with the way things change and how quick things move, people sometimes forget how special people were to them when they were young, etc. So I don't believe in people dying in the industry or falling off. I believe that there's space for everybody to coexist. So just reminding people that didn't know about great people that have done great things. Yeah. So that's basically the show. Yeah.
So this is a YouTube show.
It's gonna exist on YouTube, but okay. The way I'm shooting it is for TV. So I am shopping it around for TV. So probably by February it'll be on screens. Yeah.
Gee, so we're waiting until February.
It's dropping now in November on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
By February we should be on TV.
Relocating to Cape Town.
Yeah.
How difficult was that for you?
It was actually very easy because I wanted to do it in 2019.
Yeah.
But it wasn't as easy in 2019. I couldn't just up and go because it was like, and then what? Like, yeah. What are you gonna do there? You know. So, last year when Love and Hip Hop came about, I took a chance and I was like, well, do you guys mind if I shoot in Joburg and me living in Cape Town? They were cool with it.
Yeah.
So it made things a lot more easy. And I think. I didn't have any friends and stuff when I moved there, which was kind of perfect because I just wanted to have some peace and quiet, you know. Yeah. I've literally been DJing since 2008, since I was 16 years old.
So what were you running away from moving to Cape Town?
I don't think I was running away from anything. I think I was just going to go catch a breather, especially with a lot of my peers in the hip-hop space passing away. You know, I realized I was like, I don't want to just die, you know. I do want to also live a proper life, you know, just kind of take a back seat and just regroup. Yeah.
How did each one of those deaths affect you at a personal level? You know, whether it was Ricky Rick and how he went out.
Yeah.
Or AKA and how he was taken out.
Yeah.
Because both are traumatic.
Yeah, very traumatic. Yeah. It was a difficult time. I'm not gonna lie, especially like you say, the Ricky incident, the AKA incident. Then there was also the Dimples incident.
And then there's the Dimples incident. And we're in the same WhatsApp group of DJs.
Yeah.
And often a lot of these deaths we found out about before they went public even.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was just the shock.
Yeah.
Of finding out that someone is gone.
Yes.
Like, I mean, when DJ somebody was assassinated,
that was bad.
We literally found out before the bullet cases had even gone cold.
Yeah.
And already we had found out in our group.
Exactly, yeah. And so those are the kind of things, you know, we're just seeing like our peers like going out like that. You know, you realize that there's more to life than just trying to make money or just trying to be the successful person, you know. So yeah, that was it. I just want to take a young break and just kind of regroup. Yeah, I mean, the Dimples death was really, really hectic for me because he was always kind of like my guide.
Oh yes.
Into the industry, whether it was me dropping music or me getting onto TV, he was always my guide. And when he left, it was almost like I no longer had a guide. And I know Shake feels the same, you know, and that is why I was
DJ Milkshake.
DJ Milkshake, yeah. That's why I was like, yo.
Not a shake from Dubai.
Yeah.
That poos on people.
No poo here. And that's why I was like to Shake at the beginning of last year. I was like, well, we need each other. Let's stick together, you know. And that's how No Comply came about, which is a duo, which is him and I.
Yeah.
So we took 2020, the whole of 2021 for No Comply. You wouldn't see a speedster or you wouldn't see a milkshake on the flyers.
Oh, yes.
It was just No Comply. And then this year when I moved, we kind of did our own thing and now we just do big shows as No Comply. But to answer your questions, the deaths were really, really hectic.
No Comply, yourself and DJ Milkshake.
Yeah.
Tell us about making it work and the challenges of we have to make it work.
There's many, many challenges, as you know. You know, I think in any business, when you're working with people, it'll always be difficult. But it was always easy for us because we've always had love and respect for each other. So we're able to talk about things. We're able to, you know, kind of settle things. It doesn't have to get hectic or anything like that. But it was challenging at first, especially with fees, because trying to get the brand out there, you know, you're taking half of sometimes not even half of what you normally
exactly.
earn. When you're moving, you're no longer moving. Like I'm a kind of person, when I'm in the bus, I don't like to speak. I sometimes don't want music. It's just me and the driver and maybe a photographer.
Yeah.
But you get used to having a road manager, driver, Shake.
Now it's like you're on a school trip.
You're like on a school trip, you know. Small little things like, you know, we have small little fights. Like maybe I don't like how Shake sits in the bus. He sometimes doesn't like when I smoke in the bus. You know, so there's all those little challenges, but we make it work, yeah.
What do you mean small fights? I know there's been big fights also.
Not really.
I know there was a big fight. I think it was between Polokwane and Nelspruit.
I mean, we haven't really had like big fights. You know, it's nothing serious.
Yeah.
There hasn't been anything like serious. You know, like a deal breaker kind of a vibe.
I want to comment, but also because I've got inside information, I don't know if it's right for me to comment.
No, please. Maybe you know something I don't. Maybe you know something I don't.
Wasn't there a time you wanted to give management some hands?
Oh, yes. No, I did give management some hands.
Can you imagine?
I did give management some hands. I apologize for that, management. Yeah.
So how did he feel, though, catching hands? But you guys must still travel in the same combi.
He kind of got a wake-up call, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. Oh, geez, so hands work.
Yeah, no, he got a proper wake-up call. But I wasn't too proud about that.
You know, after that happened...
I actually forgot about that story.
You know, after that happened, Milkshake called me.
Yeah.
Milkshake called me saying, we have a crisis. I don't know what to do. Advise me.
Yeah.
So Milkshake calls me he uses me as a sounding board for a lot of things that happened in his life. And I remember him... at some stage even saying, maybe I should talk to you.
Yeah.
I was like, so that I can cash hands.
I wouldn't dare. Yeah, no, I wasn't proud about that at all. But yeah, that happened.
You were voted hip-hop DJ of the year. Was it 2016?
2017, 18, 19. So three times in a row, yeah.
Gee, slow down, bro. And, you know, with such awards will always come the naysayers.
Yeah.
How do you deal with naysayers?
I used to deal with them very well, funny enough, but over time, I actually didn't know how to deal with them, you know, and that's the time when I was kind of losing my mind, when I was swearing the whole world on the socials.
Yo, you went nonke on everyone on social media some stage.
Yeah. Because I actually didn't know how to deal with it anymore. Before that, I was...
So what was frustrating you about it?
It was almost like you know, you do so much, people love you, etc., and one day you wake up and it's like people don't love you and they don't see you, and you know, you kind of get frustrated, because I was always like very nice to everybody, and it was just got to a point where it was like, okay, some people are taking advantage, some people are taking the piss, you know.
Yes, I bother no one, but here you are fucking with my shit.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of a vibe. So that wasn't the way to deal with it. But to answer your question, I didn't know how to deal with it. But how I deal with it now is just kind of, you know, close my phone and carry on, because you look at the social, someone is saying something, but you walk out into the town and everybody loves you. It's like a whole different vibe. Yeah.
Would you say some of your social media rants affected your TV and radio gigs?
Maybe the radio gig, not sure. The TV gig was coming to an end. But I was getting calls from up there saying, yo, just, you know, you got to watch out.
From management?
Yeah, from management. Just like, yo, you got
to... This is at Metro FM, by the way, if you don't know where he was. Yeah.
Yeah.
So each time management call you out on social media, like what will go through your mind?
At that time, like, I was so hard-headed. I was very like, whatever, like, fucking fuck this guy, man, you know. I said fuck this guy, it's fuck that guy. You know, take this job if you need to take it, do whatever you're gonna do. But I think it wasn't that much of a big deal. It was more of a big deal with some of the deals that I lost. I lost a couple of deals
because of your rants.
Because of my rants.
What deals did you lose?
I lost the Kiwi deal. I lost the Order in General deal. And then from there, I lost the Castle Light deal that I was doing for a very long time. I kind of swore them as well.
Well, and you swore at them?
I swore at them, yeah.
Jeez, and, bro. Then,
and then obviously that transpired to word getting around, you know, that he's a problem child. Don't work with him, which is where I am, which is basically where I am at now, trying to fix that whole.
So you're trying to make amends now?
Basically, yeah.
So what was the wake-up call for you?
I guess just, you know, kind of growing up, waking up and understanding that, like, you know, life is not fair. Life goes on. And I don't know.
In fact, we're going to play a game. Mm. The game is called Who Was More of a Problem Child?
Yeah.
Me or you?
Definitely me.
No, we'll see. We'll see. Let's talk about the time you locked your teachers at school in the staff room.
Yes.
Why would you lock your teachers in the staff room?
Because it was a mass bunk.
And what were the consequences of that?
The consequences of that were...
Let's talk about the locking up first. So what happened that day? Were you in primary school?
No, I was in high school.
Okay.
I was matric, and okay. We were having a mass bunk. So a mass bunk basically means everybody go home. It's a Friday after assembly. We go to the first two periods, break time, everybody go home. If you don't go home, we're going to deal with you.
Jeez.
You know, it was a thing that always happened.
Yes.
With matrix. When I was in grade 8, it happened grade 9, grade 10, etc. So I was in matrix, so it was time for me to now do it.
Yes.
So yeah, I had a deal with the bus driver. I'm protecting him.
Yes.
He gave me the keys, I locked them in the staff room, and we told everybody to go home, and then everybody went home. Yeah, that was that.
So what happened after that? What were the consequences for that?
The consequences of that, when I got back to school on the Monday, they said, because my parents were so hurtful, they were like, look, do whatever you need to do with this guy.
So your parents were done with you, basically?
Yeah, my parents were like done with me at that point. Mm-hmm. And they basically said that I couldn't be in normal school because I don't want to behave like a normal school child. So I was in special school during school. So I didn't go to class with everyone else. I went to class like alone in my own time.
Are you for real?
I had to do the garden at the school. I had my own break. So during break, you'd see me cutting the grass and so forth. And then when their break ends, that's when my break starts. So I did that for about 2 weeks where I wasn't allowed to be part of society.
Yeah, because you don't want to be a part of society.
Because I don't want to be a part of society. So those were the consequences. And I must tell you, that was a big wake-up call. It is not nice. It was not nice at all.
Okay, so I've never locked teachers into a staff room. So speedster one, fresh zero.
Yes.
Let's talk about primary school. Primary school, you went to a Catholic school.
I started off at a Catholic school.
You started off at a Catholic school. And then what this dude does, he's in primary school. There's a non-Catholic school across the road.
Yes.
And then he walks across to the non-Catholic school.
Yes.
And tells them, I would like to enroll myself because I'm done with those.
I'm done at the Catholic school. Because all my friends went to the normal school. My parents wanted me to go to a Catholic school, private school. I was like, what is this? And I kept telling them.
How old were you?
I was 7 years old. I was going into grade 1.
Yeah.
And I kept telling them, I want to go with my friends. And my parents were not listening to me. And I was like, okay, shut. And then, yeah, the one day my mom dropped me off. I was like, bye, mom. Have a good day. Yeah. As soon as she went around the corner, I walked to the other school. And I was like, yeah, well, I'm here. And the rest is history, yeah.
What do you folks say when they found out that you've left the Catholic school?
Yeah.
This good private school,
yeah,
to go to public school.
So the reason I was so comfortable with doing that as well is because at the public school, my parents knew the principal. His name was Mr. Van Pletzen.
Okay.
So I got there and I was like, Mr. Van Pletzen, he was a stepfather to my brother's best friend.
So he knew you?
He knew me, okay. Yeah. So I was like, Mr. Van Pletzen, please call my parents. I want to be in the school. So yeah, I got there and then he called them. They came in, we had to buy a uniform, and then, yeah, the next day I was enrolled.
You are a legend. I've never done that, so speedster two. Fresh zero.
Yeah.
You arranged a sleepover with your friends.
Yes.
And then your brother comes home and finds you guys drunk.
Yes.
You were children.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
First of all, that was not my idea. That was not I was just there. That was not my idea. But yes, I was having a sleepover with two of my friends.
Yeah.
And we had won our first roller hockey game.
Okay.
And my dad always had a fully stocked bar, but he's never touched alcohol in his life.
So how old were you at the time?
Geesh, we must have been 13, 14.
Mm.
I think 13, 14, around there. And my dad always had a stack bar, but he never drank. And the one day we decided to taste.
Yeah.
Tasting one drink became two drinks, three drinks, four drinks. And that was obviously the first time we were drinking. So my brother walked into a house of vomit. We were sleeping in our vomit. My parents obviously woke up. And what my parents actually did was they were like, they're not going to deal with this. So they actually called my friends' parents and were like, come see for yourself.
Come see your children.
Come see what's happening here. And we got the hiding of our lives that day. Yeah, that was pretty heavy.
I've never been found drunk by my parents. In fact, the only time I drank was, I think, in grade 4.
Yeah.
We'd gone and watched, what is it, The Drunken Master. It's a Jackie Chan movie.
Yes.
And he'd drink wine and then he'd do kung fu drunk.
Yeah.
And then we came home, my parents had had a braai.
Yeah.
And there was these boxes of autumn harvest.
Yes, yes, yes.
That had been left all over the place. So me and my friends removed the sack thing.
Yeah.
And then we drank this autumn harvest. We drank this autumn harvest and decided that we were drunken masters. That's the only alcohol I ever had until I was 21. So Speedster wins 3-0.
Yes.
Next challenge. Sorry. You ran away from home.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
What happened was I used to steal... there used to be cars at home, so I used to steal the cars a lot.
Yeah, because that's the next challenge.
When the parents go away, you know. And I think my parents were catching on to what I was doing. So the one time they went to Sun City and they said they were going to come back like Sunday afternoon, like 5 o'clock or so. So it was a Sunday and I'd taken the car early, went to the skate park, did like donuts, showing, you know, trying to be cool.
Yeah, you're the man.
I was the man. Took the car back home, nice, proper, and then went back to the skate park like nothing happened, you know. Mm. And just the speed in me was puppering. And I was like, no, man, I need to take the car and go one more round. I want to go show some chicks that I can drive.
Yes.
And so I kind of like, my parents caught on because I called them. I was like, so what time are you guys getting home? You know, I was calling them the whole time, just trying to gauge how much time I had. And long story cut short, they basically lied about when they'd be back. Okay. So I went to do whatever I was doing. And then when I got back home with the car, they were there. My parents were there. I was like, oh shit. And then we basically had a big fight, and then that was the first time my dad actually like laid hands on me.
How old were you?
I was probably 15, 16.
Yeah.
And
how did it feel catching hands from pops for the first time?
It was strange because he's not a violent guy, you know. I think that's why I ran away, because I was like, what the fuck is happening, you know. I was like,
so you ran away to where?
I just ran away. I went to my friends, I went to the skate park, because this is my rebel times when I wanted to be a pro skater. That's what I wanted to do. And at the time, you know, all the white kids were going to homeschool and we're doing, you know, these were all the crazy things that we're doing. So I just ran away and they somehow found me. I was very sad when they found me.
How long were you gone for?
I must have ran away about 4 p.m. on a Sunday night, on a Sunday afternoon. They found me maybe midnight, 1 o'clock, Monday morning.
I thought you were gone like for a week.
No. I tried to run away for a week, but you realize you don't have that much money and so forth.
Matricia stole the car. We had a boarding, I was at boarding school, but our boarding school was like 10-minute walk from our house.
Mm-hmm.
Matricia, we're done with our exams. In fact, it's just before the exam start.
Yeah.
Go home and I steal the car.
Yeah.
You know these Mercs, the 230E?
Yes.
We're that green one, that olive green one. So we go partying with my boys. My girlfriend is at the back. It's nice.
Yeah.
And then we're going from a house party to a club.
Yeah.
And another friend of mine, he drove his dad's Nissan 1400.
Okay.
I didn't know the Nissan 1400 fucked off. Okay. I thought I'm in a Merc, so I got this. So we're literally drag racing along a busy road.
Sure.
But this Nissan 1400 is...
What's going?
Like, gear for gear. The Nissan 14... I'm like, what the fuck's going on here?
Yeah.
But then when we got to a turnoff, I think a dude slowed down. Mm-hmm. But I didn't realize he slowed down.
Yeah.
So I pranked into this car.
Oh, damn.
I pranked into this car and took out the front lamp
of
my dad's Merc.
Sheesh.
And the fender.
Yo.
So we went partying anyway.
Yeah.
And from there, I went home and I parked the car.
Yeah.
And they never saw me again until I'd finished my exams. I just left the car there.
Really?
I said nothing. And I just left the car there.
Sure.
Until my mom came to the boarding house and says, we saw what happened to the car.
Yeah.
Don't worry, you can come home.
Nice.
You are not in trouble.
Oh, that's nice. But you had good marks and so forth there. And I mean...
In my matric year, my marks were decent, but before then, they were
Really?
They were cocky. And then the one time I ran away from home, again, I was a kid. I was, I think, grade one or grade two.
Mm-hmm.
And that smacked me because I'd sworn at my dad because I was that guy.
Yeah.
If my dad chewed me, I'd chew him back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you grew up with white kids, right?
Yeah. So I swore at my dad. And
not a good idea.
They smacked me. So I did like it happens in the movies.
Yeah.
I literally took a dishcloth.
Yeah.
And I put some bread in it.
Yeah.
And then I tied it into a stick. And I told them I'm running away.
Yeah.
So I left the yard. Left the yard and I walked. There was a big like marula tree.
Sure.
Like not far from the house. So I went and sat there the whole day.
Really?
So that they think I've run away.
Yeah, because you didn't have a cell phone at that time, right?
Fuck, I didn't have a cell phone for a while.
Yeah.
And the food ran out.
Oh.
And then as soon as I was hungry, I came home.
Went back home.
And then as I walk in, my mom says to my dad, I told you he'll be hungry and come back.
That's crazy.
So I was very upset.
Okay.
So what, is this a draw?
That's a draw, yeah.
Running away and stealing cars.
Yeah.
You broke both of your wrists.
Jeez.
How did you break both of your wrists?
How do you know all of this, uncle? That's so crazy.
I've got a great research team.
I broke both of my wrists on a friend of mine, Frubes's quad bike.
Jeez.
We used to have quad bikes or whatever, and I've always been a very chachara kid. Always like...
Nothing has changed, but carry on.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And I don't know what I was thinking, because it was the first time that we had, he got a four-wheeler that had reverse.
Yeah.
I was like, reverse? So I don't know what I was thinking, but I was trying to do a donut in reverse.
Yeah.
So I was reversing really fast, trying to donut, and long story cut short, the bike fell on me.
Mm.
Both my wrists were broken.
Jeez.
I couldn't even pee. So Frubes actually, he used to go to the bathroom with me and zip it for me. I couldn't.
So both wrists are broken.
Both wrists.
So are you in casts then?
I'm in two casts. I can't write.
So Frubes was what your cock holder?
Frubes was my cock holder. Literally. That's why he's my best friend.
Listen, if someone has held you while you wee, they'll become your best friend.
Yeah, but he actually sold me out to my mom eventually, because what happened was we went to a birthday party at a place called Aquadome in the Emerald Casino.
Yes.
We would swim and it's a good time. And my mom was like, you can go to the birthday party.
I remember the Aquadome.
The Aquadome.
I've played a couple of sets there.
Yes, you have. And she was like, you can go to the party, but you can't swim. You've got two cars. I was like, yeah, no problem. I'm not going to swim. There I am, swimming, having the time of my life, you know, because you know that all the chick, come swim. You're swimming, whatever. I'm thinking, no, I'm clean job, this thing is dry by now, whatever.
Yeah.
My mom gets there, she's like, do you think I'm stupid? Where's, you know, because people used to write on the thing.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, why is it suddenly clean? I'm like, no, man, mom, I just cleaned it myself. And she was like, dude, you, I think you're so slick. Let's go, you know, and I had to go get new casts because those things were soaking wet.
So does Fubes feel like he like knows you intimately?
He knows me pretty well, though. Yeah, he knows me pretty well, yeah.
You guys went overseas on a roller hockey trip.
Yes.
How much game time did you get?
Jeesh, I must have played a whole of 2.5 minutes.
What happened?
It was the Roller Hockey World Cup. We went there, South Africa. So we were obviously the best from different clubs in South Africa.
Okay.
Put us together a national team. But when we got there, when we got there, they were on like a different level. Like they were getting paid to play, you know.
So you were playing with professional
roller hockey. Okay. Yeah. So I 2.5 minutes, and those 2.5 minutes were very hectic. I remember I was falling all over the place. I was nervous. I suddenly couldn't shoot, suddenly couldn't pass, suddenly couldn't do anything. But great experience. I went twice, actually. I went 2007 and 2009. Mm. Roller Hockey World Cup, yeah.
So what happened to your roller hockey career?
DJ Speedster came about, started throwing house parties for all the high schools. I started playing at all the matric farewells, all the Valentine's balls, started drinking alcohol, stopped skating, stopped playing roller hockey.
You guys would throw parties, wild parties, at other kids' houses?
Yes, we would throw parties like neighboring houses, neighboring schools. We'd book out halls and have these crazy... We had a crazy movement going, but a high school movement, because... a lot of the time, my friends couldn't come watch me play in the clubs.
Oh, yes.
Because Hot Soup was doing all the parties, and I was playing at
So Hot Soup is his brother, Soul Kid.
Yeah, and Master M.
And Master M, basically.
Yeah, they used to do like the biggest parties. So my friends couldn't come see me play. So I was like, okay.
I'll fix it.
Hold my beer. Yeah. So I did my own parties, and I had a friend who worked at the Liquor City at the time.
Yeah.
Gave me alcohol on consignment, and we used to book out halls, and we used to run bars there. We made lots of cash. Obviously, illegally. Yeah, cops would come, would give them cool drink.
Speaking of cops, and unfortunately, I can't beat this one.
Yeah.
Cops once came to your parents' place.
Yeah.
To arrest you.
Yeah.
You were still a child.
Yeah.
What happened?
We were chilling at the skate park. A friend of mine, Jock, I was doing CTAs, I think.
Yeah.
So it's in grade 9. And he was doing matric finals at the time. And we had an off day. I think we had an off week, both of us. And we were chilling at the skate park, smoking weed, just relaxing in his car. He was in matric. He had a car. And while we were hotboxing the car, the cops just pulled up on us. And yeah, they took us home. Well, they couldn't arrest us because we were underage, so they called our parents, but my parents didn't answer. Thank God. My parents always answer. That day, they didn't answer their calls. Jock's parents answered, so Jock's parents came to the scene. They took him. He was banned. Not banned. They took his car away from him. We're banned from the skate park, et cetera, et cetera. We couldn't be friends anymore. They just took me home, hoping my parents would be home. No one was home. And then when no one was home, I was like, no one's home, guys. Like, go away, you know? And then, yeah, they returned. They returned in the evening to come and...
Come pick you up.
Come pick me up. Mm. So what I did was they were doing the sirens outside and I could hear the sirens. And I was like, fuck that. I'm not opening. My parents were in their bedroom. Mm. And I'm like, fuck this. I'm putting the volume up. I'm watching TV. I'm not opening here. And my dad comes to me. He's like, can you hear some like a noise? I said, no, I can't hear nothing, whatever. Goes back to bed, you can still hear the noise.
Yeah.
Eventually he goes to check for himself. And I kid you not, as he opened the curtain, just to, because we used to live in a cul-de-sac, to see who's at the gate, I saw like the bucky just go out of the street. He didn't see obviously what happened, went back to bed. And that was it. They actually didn't find out. They actually didn't know about that story. And the reason...
So I just told them.
Yeah, we just told them now, actually, yeah. The reason I didn't want them to know about that story is because the year before, in grade 8, it was an inter-high thing, whatever. And I wanted to start smoking weed. So I was speaking to this matric guy, this dealer guy, and I was like, yo, on Fridays, inter-high, whatever. Yeah, and he was showing me the weed. And I was like, hey, I'll bring the money on Friday, whatever.
Yeah.
And as he was showing me the weed, the principal and the vice principal walked into... the bathroom while all of this was happening, called our parents or whatever. So how we kind of played it off, I was like, no, this guy was bullying me, you know. And
into a life of weed.
Into a life of weed. And I said, no. So luckily I hadn't started smoking weed. So the test came out negative. So that's why the following year I was like, no, I do not need this weed story
absolutely.
With my parents. Yeah.
Yeah,
I was one of those kids, Fresh. I won't lie to you.
Looking back at your childhood, looking back at your rants on social media and what they've cost you, like what do you think? What goes through your head? What goes through your mind? Looking at what you put your parents through, what you put your brother soul kid through.
Shame. Yeah, they've been through quite a bit. Yeah. I think. Like I said, you grow up and you start to understand that you're not a little kid anymore. You can't just do what you want. You know, you actually need to.
There's consequences.
There's consequences to everything, because I was to tell you the real truth. I was living the high life for many years. You know, on the road, making money, drinking, girls, clubs, you name it. You know, I was doing it. I was invincible in my head. You know.
Sure.
And. The main thing I would say, because in all those rants and stuff, I was never sober. I never did any of those rants sober.
No, remember at 2 in the morning we'd message you and say, dude, is there someone there who can take your phone away?
So I got to understand that you know, I can't, number one, say whatever's on my mind, especially because there are kids out there who look up to me.
Sure.
There are consequences, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, that was something that I had to learn, and we keep it moving. We live and we learn.
So what's next for Speedster?
What's next for Speedster is the show that I'm working on. Like I said, I'm working on new music, skateboarding as usual, chilling, trying to build a family, you know. I want some young Speedsters as well.
Assuming you haven't left any out there yet.
There's not any that I know of, but you never know.
Yeah.
But I'm just trying to, you know, go with the flow.
Sure.
Yeah.
Greatest skater of all time?
The greatest skater of all time. Jeesh, good question.
In your humble opinion, of course.
I have to go to Nigel Houston.
Okay.
Yeah, Nigel Houston.
And some would say, why not Tony Hawk?
Tony Hawk is not quite my style. He's obviously the legend. Yeah. He, you know, opened the doors for everyone. But sure. he's a vert skater. Mm. I'm a street skater, so I'm drawn to street skaters. Yeah.
Greatest non-South African rapper of all time.
Greatest non-South African rapper of all time. Probably have to go with Jay-Z.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then South African rapper?
The greatest South African rapper is definitely AKA, rest mm-hmm. in peace, yeah.
What is it about the Super Mega?
The Super Mega understood how to speak to South Africans, and he was the most South African South Africa you would ever find.
Mm.
And I think he did it at a time where it was very difficult for a colored person to kind of relate to black people, but he was able to kind of create his music in a way where everybody could enjoy it. So yeah, rest in peace.
Are you working on any music?
I'm working on music. Yeah, I've just finished the EP, which is coming out really soon.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, shooting music videos next week, Cape Town, Johannesburg. So yes, yeah, I feel really good. I took a nice break, been chilling.
Yeah.
I haven't really worked this year. I was just chilling, you know, skating, going to the beach. So yeah, kind of getting back into the swing of things, getting back to work. And yeah, I'm feeling good.
My dude, we wanted to bring you in here.
Thank you.
And just remind people that there's this dude here. This kid was a naughty kid. he has said and done a lot of naughty shit.
Yeah.
But he's still very talented. And we want to see you fly, my dude.
Thank you.
We want to see your name in bigger lights.
Yeah.
We want to see you doing bigger things.
Yeah, yeah. I still got a lot to do. So, yeah, I'm in the mood.
Where do we find you on social media?
At Speeds the Bro across all social media, Twitter, well, X, as you guys call it. I'm not very active there anymore.
Thank you.
But I'm an Instagram guy. And I've recently become a TikTok guy as well. So yeah, you can check me out there. And yeah, out and about in the streets.
Hashtag what a kid. Ladies and gentlemen, Speedster is about to leave the building.
This is wow! What a week. What a week. Celebrity guest.
Celebrity guest.
Our celebrity guest is in the building. She's been known to use different names, and that's both on and off screen. While her moniker might not be clear to some, what is clear to many is her talent and presence and bum at awards. Please give a warm welcome to Lerato Mvelase.
Hello.
How are you doing?
It's me, the bum lady.
Your bum was trending, like, dude.
Like, how did I get there? Like,
so you win an award, and then your bum out-trends you. Like, please tell us about,
like,
that.
How does it happen like that? Like, there I am, excited. It's my day. I'm winning an award.
Your puppies are there.
You know? And then it becomes about my bum. And I realized, South Africa, asko serious, you know? South Africans, we're not serious people. Like, we...
Or you knew exactly what you were doing.
In fact, you know what? I didn't want to explain myself.
Yeah.
Because when something has happened, it's happened.
Yes.
You know, I think I operate like that now. It's like, things are what they are, and yes, let's let them be. That outfit was a last minute outfit.
Okay.
That underwear...
We can tell it was last minute because it was not complete. You left the other half. You left the other half at home.
But the underwear was a mistake. I took the wrong underwear, and I didn't get ready at home.
What do you mean you took the wrong underwear?
So I've been on set, like, for the past month.
Oh, yes.
Every day.
Mm.
Leaving early, coming back home late.
Okay.
So I had this one particular day where I was not in, like, 3 or 4 scenes.
Mm.
I asked to leave to go to gym because I hadn't been going to gym.
Mm.
I went to gym. Then I said to my niece, can we just quickly go into the shop and see if I can find something? And that's the outfit I found.
Mm.
And the plan, when I tried it on, I had my shorts.
Okay.
So I was like, I just need to find nice, cute bum shorts.
Yes.
There was no time to find them.
Mm-hmm.
And on the Saturday of the awards, Fresh, believe it or not, I was working. My outfit is not complete. And I walk into the store where I see underwear, and I just grab the wrong one because I was in a rush. So what do? I either don't wear anything or I wear the G-string.
That's your story, and you're sticking to it.
You see, I was like, that's why I don't want to explain myself. I shouldn't. I really, it's pointless. And that's what happened, believe it or not.
Congratulations, award-winning actress.
Yeah, thank you so much.
How did you feel walking up there? Well, apart from the draft.
Yeah. I think there was that moment elicited a feeling of celebration
mm.
for the first time in the long time mm. in the industry, mm. you know, where...
And it's a thankless industry.
No, it is. Very it is thankless. Completely. Like mm. you can't really put it in your heart mm. because if you do, then you become bitter, you become angry, mm. you know, just do what you got to do and enjoy it, you know? So when my name was called, I think for a second, you don't think it's you
yes.
because you're not used to it. Mm. You know, it's not something that you're familiar with. And as I was walking up for the first time, there was just a sense of celebration within me. Mm. And I think it was not even about the award itself,
sure.
but it was, I've put in so much work mm. over the years mm. and I get to celebrate this moment with my kids. I think yes. that was the biggest thing for me.
Tell us about your kids. Tell us about motherhood.
Motherhood is
it's not a joke.
It's not a joke. It is not pictures on Instagram.
Yeah.
You know, it requires emotional intelligence mm. Because you're dealing with a completely different human from you. As much as you think they belong to you, they don't.
And isn't it wild how we treat them almost like they don't have autonomy?
Exactly.
Like they're an extension of us.
Yeah, and they're not. And my 16-year-old is taught, in fact, both my kids and my 10-year-old,
yeah.
you know, because my kids are, I've got feisty little things, you know. They taught me that very early, that we're not an extension of you. We have our own way of thinking. We see yes. the world differently from mm. you. And over the years, I've come to embrace it. You know, at first you fight it because you're just like, we didn't do that. We didn't have Twitter. Yes, you didn't have Twitter. So you
and
not,
I'm your mother.
And I'm your mother. You know, I never spoke to my mom like that. But besides that, you know, Fresh, just being able to share a life with somebody that appreciates you for you, you know, mm. and loves you unconditionally on sure. your good days and bad days, I think mm. that's the best part of being a parent for me.
Where do you think they get this feistiness from? I'm asking for a friend.
I mean, like you say, you know, dynamite's coming.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So this is Wow, What a Week. And we'd love to also know just about your week. And I know you're yeah. from an audition right now.
Yes.
Do you think you got it?
It felt good.
Mm.
You know, the one I went to earlier this week, mm. that's the one I really want.
Okay.
And they all went well, you know. And I suppose after you do the audition, you walk away from it because... Mm. Then you're stressing over it, and then if you don't get it, then you're heartbroken. You kind of do the audition, you do the best you can, and pray that they call you back. So I hope they do.
When did you get to that stage of understanding that it's just an audition, and if someone else gets it, maybe it wasn't for me, it doesn't mean I'm any less of an actor?
Yeah.
Because it comes with maturity. It doesn't happen instantly.
Yeah.
You know, at some stage, it hurts a lot that... I didn't get that. How? When did you get to that stage where you grew up?
I think I grew quite early, Fresh, you know, mm. because I started working as a teenager.
Yes.
So the rejection part came very early for mm. me. And
you did backstage as an extra.
I did.
I did.
It was a cameo. It was a cameo. Cameo.
Yes, 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 yes. I did backstage twice.
Yeah, I did.
I was just happy to be flying to Cape Town at the time.
Yeah. yeah. No, I shot when they were here. And I played a nurse.
Yeah.
But, you know, rejection for me came very early. Mm. I was a skinny, dark. I was very dark. You mm. know, we played in the street. So what else is going to happen? You're going to burn in the sun, right? And back then, that was not considered cute or pretty mm. or mm. anything that is accepted, really. And, you know, there were derogatory terms that I was, and I was skinny, mm. you know? So I had weight issues and I wasn't the prettiest girl in the room. So that helped me a lot. You know, we are a generation that's strong.
Raised tough.
You raised tough.
I went to, because I had to get my eyes checked out.
Yeah.
And my ophthalmologist was actually saying that to me, that generally people born in the 70s
yeah.
and early 80s are tough.
We're very tough.
Because they needed to dilate my pupils.
Yeah.
And he said, listen, we're going to dilate your pupils. We're going to put drops in your eyes.
Yeah.
And it's going to be blurry the whole day.
Yeah.
So after he's done doing all of his tests, I'm like, dude, it's not that blurry. He's like,
In fact, it's too clear now.
No, no. So he's like, oh, yeah, you were born in the 70s. You guys are buckies. You're like tough.
No, we are.
So the blurriness was gone like sooner than earlier. So we're definitely raised different.
We are. I mean, my daughter, my oldest, well, both my kids are athletes, right? Yeah. And there's an athletics competition today. And she's not going because she's damaged something, she says. Mm. So this morning I say to her, it's the last time you're not running. Mm. And she's like, mommy, what am I supposed to do? You need to get me checked. You need to take me to a, I don't even know what she said. You need to take me to a what to go check. That's an idiot. You listen, sissy.
Dude, kids nowadays are plastic.
They are.
You know, we'd play outside. You'd kick a rock.
Yes.
And then your toe would burst open. There's blood. You just take sand, you hold. I don't even know how we found out that sand will make the blood clot and the bleeding stop.
Yes.
So you can continue kicking the ball with the very toe that is bust open.
Yeah.
That's how tough we are.
And we discovered stuff.
Yeah.
No, we discovered stuff.
Yes.
Because we were out. We were out there. So my daughter is not running today because of that. And I was just not impressed. And she's not impressed that I'm not impressed. You know, so we are definitely a tough generation.
What else has happened in your life this week that you want to share with us?
It's exam season, Fresh.
Yeah. So you're also writing.
I'm also a student.
You don't learn.
What do you mean I don't learn?
You don't learn. I mean, firstly, it took you 10 years to get one qualification. And you're like, you know what? And I want another one.
No. I think for me, because, you know, a little earlier, I think I was still in my 20s, I realized how precarious our industry is, you know? One minute you're working, one minute you're not.
Sure.
And I think my preparation started then. That's when I went back to study, which took me 10 years because I was a mom.
So that was the communications degree?
That's the communications degree. And I was meant to take a year break, actually, after graduating in 2015. Mm. But I was just too tired.
Sure.
So when I did my postgrad last year, that was meant to be 2017.
Sure.
And what I'm doing now was meant to be, I was meant to have done it 2020 and finished 2021. Mm. I should be doing my PhD this year.
Jeez.
But you know what? You're never too late.
We're not teacher's pet.
I wasn't, actually.
Uh-huh. No, you are now.
I am now.
You know, God is like saying to Gabriel, was one of ours, one of ours. We made her right.
Yeah. No, so it's just been a lot of studying. I'm under a lot of stress because...
Are you writing this week or next week?
In fact, what's happening is I'm writing in 2 weeks, Freshner,
okay.
But I've been shooting up until Saturday, and I've got two assignments due. So I have to submit before I can start studying, and it's two very long assignments. So it's a lot of stress.
Speaking of submitting, what are your views on love and marriage?
I believe in life partners.
Okay.
I don't believe in marriage.
What happened?
No. I've never... You know, when growing up, you see yourself in a car, you know, you see yourself in a house. You imagine, you see your life. And everything that I've dreamt of, that I've envisioned, I'm living it.
Sure.
The only thing I've never imagined is marriage.
Mm.
And that's because I feel like it's just too much pressure, you know, where I must now commit to this other human. When I struggle to commit to myself, people struggle to commit to their own diet.
It was just 10 years, man. So just one degree. How? And you still eventually finished.
No, I don't see myself living in the same house as a man. I might compromise on the marriage part if ever I meet someone who's amazing.
Okay, so what would it take to change your mind?
He has to be exactly what I envision.
Okay.
He must be tall, dark, with lots of money, educated, funny, to a degree. He mustn't be a comedian, please. He must take care of his kids and his ex-wife if he got married.
Okay, so basically you're looking for a co-parent.
No, I mean our kids are probably old enough.
Or would you go for a Ben 10 with no children?
I can't, because he's going to want kids from me at some point. I can't.
Or you're going to have to treat him like one of your children.
You see, no, I can't. I just need an amazing man. And yeah, that's hard to find, but you know, he'll come at the right time.
I'm told you are very shy when it comes to intimate relationships.
What I am is I struggle to be vulnerable.
Okay.
Especially when I'm meeting someone, you know, for the first time.
Okay.
And I take a very long time to open up.
Mm.
which if somebody's trying to come into my life to come get something from me,
okay,
they're gonna give up.
Okay.
So, you know, somebody has to be.
So a sokodisa.
Yeah. I'm not easy to get.
Mm.
And I know that about myself. It took me a long time to accept it, but I know that. I take a long time. Because people are playing now, Fresh, you know? Mm. Like, people are just...
What if someone is honest with you?
How do you know?
No, but as in they were very honest with you that, listen, I don't want a long-term relationship. I just want us to have fun.
I probably would agree.
Okay.
Because
guys, stop DMing her, man. It's just an interview.
You see, I have respect for people like that because okay. Then...
So don't string me along.
Yeah, don't try and win me over by doing things that aren't you, saying things that aren't you. I'd rather have somebody say, hey, listen, we're grown-ups. Hey, listen, I like you. You know, I think...
Can we have some fun together?
Can we have fun together? You know, and I'm there. Let's have fun.
So what happens if you fall in love then?
Then we both talk about it. If he's a good enough man.
Yeah, because inadvertently it happens.
It does.
It's always the ones that are honest with you about, let's have fun, that you realize that, oh shit, I think I'm in love now.
Yeah, and if we are, let's do it. We're just not going to stay in the same house. And I don't know if I want to get married.
What do your kids say about you and relations?
Shem, I think I'm a disappointment. Hey, my kids want an uncle. Yesterday she was showing me some, the rugby guys.
Yes.
What's his name? Pele, Mele, Ibel,
Sable. No, just speak out loud. Just say it.
Eben.
Elizabeth.
Well, who?
Elizabeth.
No, man.
Eben, Elizabeth.
That guy.
So the one to a white uncle?
No. Just a handsome. She's always showing me some. It's Idris, then it's this one, then it's...
They just want an uncle.
They're just like, mom, meet someone. And I think for my oldest one, you know, she's leaving in 2 years. So I think for her... It's like, I don't want to leave and you're all alone, you know? So, Elizabeth, call me. That's his name. Yeah, he must call me. Because my kids like you. So, yeah.
You're also a very deeply spiritual woman.
Yeah.
You don't have to agree. I know.
Yeah.
I know a lot about you that you don't think I know.
Yeah.
You're deeply spiritual. How does that inform decisions you make, roles that you agree to take on if you're shooting, friends that you choose to keep. So how does the depth of your spirituality inform how you live your life?
One, I struggle with a lot of people.
Mm.
I am a people's person.
Sure.
But I struggle with a lot of people because my energy picks up a lot of energies very quickly.
Hey, dude, I've got the same problem.
Yeah. And when I'm not in a space that I'm comfortable in, I can't hide it. I'm not a good actress in real life, actually. Mm. And
so can't you act like you're fine?
I can't, Fresh. And you know, people get surprised because I'm really not. In real life, I'm not because my life is my life. And then there's my acting.
And then when you withdraw, they think you're being funny.
Yeah.
At that time, you're just biting your tongue.
Yeah. Because we're those people. You say what you need to say, right?
Exactly.
But besides that, Fresh, I don't have time for minor things, minor engagements, things that are frivolous and that fade. You know, I'm not one for the hype, for the moment. Mm. You know, I'm very intentional about how I live my life. Mm. That's how I live with my kids, how I live with my family, and the few friends that I've got, you know, within the industry.
Mm.
Very, very few friends. And they only get to see that part of me. They get to experience it because that's a part of me that's precious. I don't think I need to share that part with the world, you know, because... It doesn't change anything, but it does change my friends' lives.
Mm.
It does change my family's life, and those are the people that matter to me. So I struggle with going out. Mm. I do, but I get me out of my house.
Didn't you miss a dinner that was thrown on your behalf to celebrate your award?
Yeah.
Your own dinner thrown for you, you didn't attend.
I struggle. You do. People are tiring, Fresh. You know, I mean, if I must philosophize this idea of people.
Yeah.
People are exhausting, especially now because we live in a world where people don't want to get to know Fresh.
Mm.
People want... They don't want to get to know Tato.
Absolutely.
They want Fresh. Mm. You know, they want
the idea of
Fresh.
Yeah.
And then and they can't handle Thato because Thato is a real human with emotions, with a history, with problems, with and
with only, boundaries even.
With boundaries even, you know, and people don't like boundaries. In fact, the minute you show them your boundaries, you realize, oh, we're actually not cool with this person because being in the industry we're in, people are entitled to us. They're entitled to your time, to your energy.
We support you.
Yeah. You know, and because they want you to be part of them, you must be at that party, you must be at that event. And it's like, no, guys, I love my home.
I love my space.
I love my space.
But for instance, though, you also have a transport business, as it were. So how do you reconcile the fact that you've got a shuttle, but you don't like people?
So my transport is for my family.
Okay.
And my friends.
Okay.
You know, because I like big cars.
Yeah.
And I always have. But that's because I love family. Mm. I'm very family oriented. In fact, myself and my niece were having this conversation yesterday to say, you know, I must buy myself a small car when I pass my MBA.
Okay.
So that I have my own car.
When do you finish the MBA?
Next year.
Jeez.
Yeah, so one more year. It's not too
far. One more year and then bye.
Then you know, then soon it's doctor.
Yeah. There's actually a beautiful ring to Dr. Lerato Mvelase.
Right.
It actually sounds so right.
Right?
Yeah.
I can't wait.
It actually sounds so right.
In fact, 3 more years, then that's it.
You're actually inspiring me to wanna go back to school. Don't do that.
Please do it.
Jeez.
Why not? You still have the energy. Look, our eyesight is not so great anymore.
That's why I said the ophthalmologist the other day was like, you know what, your body looks 10 years younger, but your eyes are your age.
Your eyes tell you. Your eyes always, when I'm driving and I don't have my glasses, I'm like, you know, at night. So please do it, and I'll tell you why I encourage all Black people to go to school. Yes, I know we can push the notion of we must be entrepreneurs, and I get that.
Yes.
But not every business will win, you know? Mm. But when we've got an education, we're not a generation of trust. In fact, we're not a people of trust funds.
In fact, our parents slept.
Thank you.
Dad, where's the trust fund?
Right? Like, where is it? Right? So I believe that all of us have to have some form of education because this is how we can break the cycle.
Yes.
You know, of poverty, of criminals and... Only if we go back to school. But it saddens me. Literally every corner when you drive in Johannesburg, there's 4 or 5 children in the streets during the week. Mm. What does that tell you about the future of this country? Mm. You know, I'm very scared.
We're in trouble. We're in a lot of trouble. We're going to play a game. It's called Lerato Mvelase, the musical.
Okay.
Because we know you sing. Well, some might not know that you sing. Yeah. In fact, the first time I interviewed you, you had a single, Ting Ting.
Oh, please. Fresh, come on. You know, I was so hoping. I was like, please, can he not remember that? Like, can he just not?
The thing is, I don't forget people that are impactful, and you are impactful. So sadly, I can't and shan't forget. So basically, this is Your Life, the musical.
Yeah.
Starring you.
Okay.
Yes. So, Lerato Mvelase, the musical, your childhood, what's that song that you'd sing in the childhood part of this musical?
Mandela just came out of prison.
Okay.
And this is the song that came that very night.
Okay, so you were about 10, 11 then?
Yeah.
When Mandela came out. I know my math is quick.
Yeah. Tina, Abantwana Basa South Africa.
Hold on, so you wrote this?
I wrote this
for
song.
For Mandela.
Oh, wow. With the hope that one day I'll meet him. And I mean, it never happened. Tina, Abantwana Basa South Africa, Sizophila Kamnandi. Tina, Abantwana Basa South Africa, Sizophila Kamnandi. Ngokuba Mandela yi president, uzosiphilisa kamnandi. That was my song.
If you were to write a song for President Ramaphosa, how would that go?
Oh dear. It might be a little gibberish, you know. I can't even say it would be hip hop because I used to love hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, I don't know that song.
Okay, but let's keep it moving.
Yeah.
Raton Velase, the musical, when you first thought you were in love, what was that song during that time in your life?
D'Angelo.
Okay.
D'Angelo. How did that song go?
Not how does it feel?
How does it go? I know. I nearly said, how does it feel to know that? No, it's not that. Dum, 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 dum. Dum, dum, dum. No, that's.
One thing I love about black people is black people will even play the bass guitar with their mouths. You'll hear dum, dum, dum. And then the zugu, zugu, zugu,
zugu, zugu. It was D'Angelo, though. It was a beautiful, sexy song.
And then do you remember his name, this kid you thought you were so in love with?
It was Mandla, actually. Which Mandla? My first boyfriend.
Oh, wow, okay.
Not the it's a Mandla you don't know.
Okay.
But it was my first boyfriend, and I was at Wits at university early.
Hold on, so at Sacred Heart, didn't date?
No.
Okay.
You couldn't date.
Why?
Tell me that at that time, which child could be seen with a guy?
No, but dating is just boyfriend and girlfriend. Doesn't mean no dating.
No.
It's just maybe a mwanyana at the bus stop or you hold hands.
When I went to Sacred Heart,
yeah.
I was the girl from the township. I couldn't speak English.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Remember? Mm. And I was struggling a lot because I couldn't even hear them. You know, oh, wow. I didn't. Now I'm
so you
like,
just heard whang, whang, whang.
Yeah.
Hong, hong, yeah, hong, yeah, yeah. Hong, hong.
I learned the word pastry in 97.
Oh, wow.
And these girls, who were my friends, right? Some of them are still my friends now. Mm. And they would laugh because I generally couldn't hear them.
Mm.
And then she said pastry. Mm. I had heard that word for the first time. And then they were laughing.
Yes.
And then I laughed. And then I saw them look at each other. Look at me and laugh.
Oh, wow.
You know?
How did that feel?
And <You're>... I was that kid. But, you know, Fresh, the way I'm so resilient.
Mm.
In Standard 8, I was the new girl who couldn't even speak English.
Yeah.
So I obviously failed the 3 terms and passed the last term.
Sure.
By the time I got to Standard 9, Fresh, I was in the SRC. I was in the first team basketball.
Cheers,
okay. I had never played hockey. I was never exposed to hockey. I didn't even know what hockey was. In fact, I was being kapunganwam, and the coach said, trial.
Yeah.
And I made it into the first team. I was in the first team hockey. I didn't want to play netball because, you know, girls, I was like, girls have drama. And yeah, by the time I got to matric, I think I was one of the most popular girls at that school.
Yeah.
First team athletics as well. So yeah.
And you haven't stopped.
And I haven't stopped. I haven't stopped.
Let's get back to our game, Raton Velase, the musical.
Yeah.
When things were really, really tough, what song got you through those periods in your life?
Joe Sample, Lala Hathaway. When your life was low, you had nowhere to go. People turned their backs on you, and everybody said that you were through. I took you in. And made you strong again. Put you back together out of all the dreams you left along the way. You left me shining. That was my song, still is.
Wow.
So every time somebody hurts me,
yeah.
Especially somebody that I know I've contributed to their life, that's the song I play for them.
Mm.
I played that song for all my exes.
Jeez, okay.
I play.
Did you call a conference? Or sit down? Press play there.
Play. So you know when you're sitting in a car, like it's true what they say about women. When they play a certain song and you're in the car, you must know there's a message behind that song.
It's never a mistake.
No, it's never a mistake.
That a certain song is playing.
No.
Because you can't run away.
You're sitting here and she wants to make sure that the sound is right and nothing is disturbing you so you can hear every single word.
And then there's traffic. So
you're going to hear the song. Anyway. Yeah. Yeah, so that was my song.
When things were tough, how tough were they?
Yeah. Fresh. Yo. Very.
Tell us about it.
You know, my nature is that of handling things, right? And
excuse. Dude, could I have some tissue then?
So I handle things, man. And thank you. That's just who I am. You know, my mom raised me like that. And I suppose having to take care of my family from such an early age, you have to be strong, you know? You have to grow up very quickly. You know, as a kid, I remember at Sacred Heart specifically, we didn't have money at all at home, right? And I would miss school, and I couldn't afford to miss school because you can't even speak English.
You're teka-teking already.
I'm teka-teking.
So you need to show up.
I need to show up.
You need
up.
To get the early, in fact.
And I mean, I was there with Madiba's grandkids, Sisulu's grandkids.
Yes. It was that school.
It was that school, you know? And I'm this kid whose mom worked at a factory as a seamstress. And mina being 25 rand fresh, what do you buy at Sacred Heart with $5 for lunch? So I spent most of my lunch days in the bathroom because what are you gonna eat? You know, man, fresh.
What are you thinking as you're going through all of this? What thoughts are keeping you company or not?
I've done so well, man. I've done so well. And, you know, because we don't talk about our lives, you know, and the things we've been through, because, you know, you don't feel, people don't need to know your life, really, you know, except the ones that matter. And I would be in the bathroom most of the time because I would have a slice of brown bread, which I would have to down with water from the tap in the bathroom. And then my friends, when I come out, where were you, you know? And obviously missing school because I couldn't come to school. And the house where we lived, it was like Mzinwez and Tsizwa Fresh, you know, where me and my mom were basically in the bedroom. And that was the house, you know. I remember in matric, I'm studying in the kitchen and music is loud. And nobody cares because, you know, we don't care about you. But God was so good to me because I passed. And when I got to Vets and I was at Res and it was quiet, it was such a relief because for the first time I could cry.
Sure.
You know, I didn't have to be strong. You know, in that house I had to be strong. You know, and
which is not fair on any child.
On any child, you know.
Because as a child, you should be able to express exactly that which you feel at the time.
And where do you express that? You're going into the place where you live in that house, right? And I had to have this interminable courage and strength for a child. And to a degree, that worked for me. You know, some experiences, you go through them and you don't see how they're helping you for the future, you know?
It becomes your foundation.
Yeah.
That throw anything you want at
throw
me,
anything.
I will deal with it.
Throw anything at me, you know? And I'm not here to be part of anything. You know, I'm not here to fit in. I'm not here, I'm not ensnared by anything. You know, I create the world that I want for myself. And I'm grateful to God that my kids get to see that, you know, that you have to decide for yourself the life that you want. Because if you don't, then people will decide for you, you know? And the life that I lived as a child helped me because I'm not part of a clique. You know, the friends that
You managed without a clique.
I managed without a clique, you know? In fact, I was the girl that was laughed at. And one experience, Fresh, that I have to share with you, then I went to Rosebank a couple of years later after Sacred Heart, and I bumped into one of the guys that used to make hectic fun of me. And he sees me and I see him, and he came to me and asked for 20 bucks.
Can you imagine?
Right? And for a second, you know, you feel like saying things.
You're not loaded.
Yeah. Mm. And I was like,
because also just seeing the faces that tormented you, that alone is a trigger.
That alone
just,
is a trigger.
Just seeing the face.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not even just the trigger. You literally, Your heart literally skips.
Yeah. You squirm.
Yeah.
Because you remember the words that were said, and I couldn't respond because I didn't know the language. Mm. You know, and the most I would do is run. And I suppose that's why maybe I was such a fast runner, because what else are you going to do, you know?
So you're actually not an athlete. You're just running
away. I was just running. Hey, guys, I had to run. Hey, I just ran and ran and ran. And you know, because of
Did you give him the 20 rand?
I gave him 200 bucks.
Jeez.
I gave him 200 bucks. And because of how I grew up, Fish, you know, where you've got a family, but everyone is scattered, you know, around the country, and you and your mom are going through all these things. I've got a bus because all my nieces and nephews are in that bus. I'm that aunt. I'm that aunt. Mm. You know, I make sure my nieces, my nephews are together, because I don't want any of them to grow up feeling alone like I did. You know, where you've got no one to talk to. And you know how we were raised. Our parents never spoke. You know, whatever they went through.
You got on with it.
You got on with it. There was no sitting and talking. I sit with my kids and we talk, and I look at them like, hey, these things.
If only they knew.
You know, we never spoke with my mom. It was something happens and my mom would pray. That's my mom. You know, everything was just pray. But I drive a bus because I don't ever want any of my kids, because they're all my kids, to feel alone. They must know my cousin is there, my other cousin is there, my sister is there, because I know what that would have done for me if I had that.
You're living in this commune, as it were. Things are tough for you and mom. When you did talk or chat, what did you talk about?
Most of the time, my mom spoke about how you must never avenge yourself. My mom never believed in, because, you know, as a kid, you are not emotionally intelligent enough to understand what that means. Because you're just like, why would you keep quiet when someone hits me? Why would you keep quiet when somebody swears at you? Why would you let people, we lived in this house first, why would you let them, you know? Everything for you, solutions must be, they're all practical. But my mom operated on a level that I don't even think I would ever be able to get there. Years later, I'm facing situations, relationships, and suddenly I'm not avenging myself. Suddenly, I don't have to defend myself.
Sure.
I don't have to tell the world what the other person did. I don't have to say anything.
You keep it moving.
I just kept it moving. And God and my ancestors did the...
They did the rest.
They did the rest for me.
Surely there's also peace that comes with not having to worry about, I'm going to show you.
And if people understood the power of that, Fresh, where it is okay to walk away.
Yeah.
It is absolutely okay to take your plastic with your clothes. Yes, you bought that pot. You bought the bed. You built. I understand all of that. I walked away. Fresh, I walked away, and I had to start over, and I did, and the peace that came with that. I've got happy children.
Sure.
And that was the biggest thing for me. I don't want my kids to ever see me vengeful and angry, and because then your kids grow up to become those people. My kids saw me walk away. My kids saw mommy start over. My kids saw mommy not care what is happening, and I've got happy children.
And I remember when we had to tell our kids that we were divorcing.
Yeah.
And the one thing I said to my kids is, you need to understand that every child deserves two happy parents. And unfortunately, that happiness won't always lie in the parents being together.
Absolutely.
But we're not going to force matters for your sake. For your sake, we're not going to force matters.
Yeah. And they're probably very
happy. Because you need to see both your parents thriving at all times.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because that's how you thrive as a child.
Yeah.
Knowing that I don't have to worry that mama's coming home angry.
Yeah.
Or papa's coming home angry.
Yeah. And they're shouting at each other at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, your kids want to see you happy. My kids have seen me happy all these years. You know, being a single mom and to have them encourage me to see someone, I'm like, I've done an amazing job.
Sure.
Because my kids never had to fight for my attention and my partner's attention.
Sure.
They are now at a point where it's like, Mama, go live, flourish. Sure. You know.
We're wrapping up the Lerato Mvelase musical.
Yeah.
This is the final song at the end of the musical. It's your victory song. What is your victory song?
I don't need you to love me. I don't need you to love. I got my sister. I can feel her now. She may not be here, but she's still mine. I know she still loves me. I got my children. I can hold them now. They may not be here, but they still mine, and I hope they know I still love them. I need to carry on. Got my house, it still keeps the cold out. Got my chair when my body can't hold out. Got my hands doing good like they're supposed to. Showing my heart to the folks that are supposed to. I got my eyes, though they don't see as far now. They see more about how things really are now. That's from Color Purple.
Yo. Studio audience, come on, guys. You guys have one job. One job.
And you failed.
Dude.
Yeah.
We wanted to celebrate you.
Thank you.
And just remind you who the hell you are. That's why we invited you here.
Thank you
for sharing with us. Thanks for being open with us. Thanks for being so raw with us. And thanks for kicking ass, man.
Thanks
for being an inspiration.
Thank you.
I just might fuck around and go to school next
year. Please do. Please. I need classmates that I like.
The other day, didn't you post that you are looking for a man?
No, guys. You know, let me tell you.
Didn't you post that you're looking for a man?
No, I didn't.
You didn't, okay.
Did I?
Or that you're ready to date, or that you're something?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't.
Okay.
So what I know is I did an interview
over
the phone with someone
early
this year, fresh, no? And I suppose that's actually, I said to my niece, I'm going to do journalism next year because I think we need better journalists. Anyway, so this person, this woman, I do an interview with her earlier in the year when I graduated.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't do the article.
Oh, yes.
Never came out.
Mm.
And in the conversation, you know, after the talking about school and parenting and then eventually she was like, where you at in your life? And I was like, yeah, you know, I think I'm ready to date, you know.
So old news became current news.
And then worst part, what she does is
she
takes a picture of my outfit. Hey, fresh.
Well, with a bum.
Right.
Okay.
Puts that picture and then says, Lerato is looking for a man.
Oh, wow.
And I was just like, really? Like, that's how you're going to do me? But, you know, I think it comes with the territory.
Sure.
Where... Yeah. 1 minute somebody will love you, 1 minute they won't, and it doesn't matter, really.
Well, so, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Incredible woman.
Thank you.
And keep soaring, keep flying. And turn that bus you drive into a train.
Absolutely.
Because I'm certain you'll be recruiting more family members along the way.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lerato Mvelase is about to leave the building. We've got another big sporting weekend ahead with national teams in different arenas. And South Africans are known to enjoy a range of things in both victory and other times. So whatever the results are, hope you can resurface on Monday morning and join us back here next time.
Until then, wishing you all a wow week ahead. Amped Studios, thank you as always for housing us. We are part of the Africa Podcast Network. Pezulu Works, thanks for the cinematography. Shout out to Trevor and the team. Otis the Flow Fraser for all of our imaging and our guests today. Sfiso Nene, Raton Velase, and DJ Speedster. Creative producer, Krivesh Mohan. Show producer, Gilezo Mudisa Geng. Email us at waw@africapodcastnetwork.com. Till next time, have a great week in spite of yourselves.